Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday night. Oh, wow, we're getting re-acclimated back into our Thursday night. We had taken a sabbatical during the month of December, and now we are back and live and readjusting and getting used to being back on air on Thursday nights. And I just want to thank each of you, my faithful followers, for continuing to tune in on Thursdays. Happy New Year's to all that's tuning in. Happy 2024. And I have great expectations. I'm having anticipation and expectations for 2024 that this year will be a great year for many. Last year, for a lot of people, went through a lot of things, a lot of hardship, a lot of worries and woes. And so I just pray that 2024 would just be all that you expect it to be. For we know that the God we serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. Amen, amen. So again, welcome. But we're going to get into the word. I'm not saying that this is going to be a long hour. A lot of things on my heart. I'm all over the place. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm excited to see where the Holy Spirit is going to take tonight, because I need a word. How about you? I need a word. So let's see if this is the word that's going to go forth on tonight. We're going to go to this scripture has been playing in my heart for the last couple of days. And it's a story that many of us are familiar with, but I don't know, it dropped in my spirit, and it's just been kind of like, once it dropped, it has been lingering. And so when I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to be? Lord, what do you want me to teach on Thursday? What is it that you want me to minister? What is it that you want me to bring to the table for your sons and daughters? There's so much heaviness going on. There's so much going on. And part of that probably is what has my heart heavy. But on my own self, because, see, one of the things I'll say about Coach D is this, not that I'm perfect. I never proclaim to be perfect. But when I see, I have a lot of empathy. And when I see other people, my fellow brothers and sisters going through things, my heart hurts for them. My heart begins to hurt for them. And so I think, and like I said, I'm not tooting my own horn, because I could think of times where I've been very judgmental, that I've been very, critical. But as I grow and as I realize that Lord knows I need his grace, that my own self could get raggedy, and I know I need God's grace. I know that I need his mercy. And so when you begin to realize how much you need his grace and his mercy, it causes you to be empathetic to others. So when others are going through something, it's no longer a judgment. It's a hard thing, because the love of God that lives in us is supposed to allow us to be able to extend the same grace to others that God has extended to us. When we see our brothers and sisters struggling in any area or going through life, whatever they're going through, you know, loss of loved ones, loss, financial hardship, sickness in their bodies, persecution, accusation, whatever the case may be, we're supposed to have enough love of God in us that our love for that person causes us to want to be there for them, to want to uplift them, to want to correct them, right? So tonight's message, I believe, is going to bless you all as it has blessed me tonight, just preparing for it. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to hold on just one second. I want to make sure that I have absolutely, positively no interruptions during the course of our show on tonight. I want to make sure that everything is operating in the spirit of excellence, that God may get the glory. Amen. Okay. I think that did it. Awesome. Okay. So, again, we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 to lay the foundation of where I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take us on tonight. This message, I pray that it blesses you, as I said, like it's blessed me. I'm taking this message personal. I'm taking it personal because it's dropped in my spirit, so I want to take a look at it. So anyway, let's get started. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version on tonight. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There are two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. Now, there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guests who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger rose, was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are that man. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and Judea. And if this were too little, I would have added to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight, struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to your wife as your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites? Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that carries on your words, Lord. Father, I pray that these words will penetrate the heart of your children. Father God, that it would bring forth the spirit of repentance, Lord. Father God, that we would truly understand after tonight the difference between rebuke and judging, Father God. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you love us enough that you rebuke us, Father, that you reprove us, you restore us, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, have your way on tonight. You are welcome in the studio, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we just left out of Nathan. Many of you know the story, that story. And like I said, that story had been dropped in my spirit a few days ago, and I was pondering on it. And it wasn't necessarily I was pondering on it for tonight's show. I was taking that as a personal message that Lord was telling me I need to clean my camp. Whatever's going on, whether I realize it admittedly or omittedly, but he was telling me it's time to clean your camp. It's time for you to look inside your own house. And why this scripture came to mind is because, as we see here, David, you know, was ready to take, he heard this story about this man who did this, and he was so ready to go in and clean up somebody else's house. He was so ready to go in and be judgmental and judging somebody else. He was so ready to condemn somebody else. He was so ready to tear in and punish somebody else. But he had not stopped to think how dirty his own house was. Amen. And we know in the new covenant, not the new covenant, the second covenant. You know, we're talking about David. All this was taking place in the first covenant, but we know it goes, it continues, because in the second covenant, you know, the word of God tells us in Matthew, it talks about judge not lest thee be judged, and it talks about how can you take the speck out your brother's eye when you have a whole boat in your eye. In other words, how can you throw stone when you're living in a glass house? And oftentimes many of us do. And we all say, you know, we always want to justify why we said something or what makes it right. So tonight I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take us through some things because to help us understand. But I don't think, I would hope that none of us want to be operating in the spirit of judging. God speaks against it in his word, but I think that we don't understand, because I didn't understand. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. I'm like, Father, I don't understand. I don't understand what's the difference between rebuking and judging. You know, what's the difference? And I think he made a clear line in the sand on tonight to me what the difference is and why he tells us not to judge. Amen? So You might say, well, okay, Coach D, I hear you talking about rebuking and judging, but I'm not quite sure how it all ties into David and Nathan. Nathan was a prophet of God, for those of you who didn't know. And basically, him coming and sharing this story with David, he was coming to rebuke David. But what he was, and rebuke comes with warning. It comes with correction. And rebuke generally comes with is factual, where judging normally is assumption. And it assumes that, okay, because she wears black dress and red shoes, she's a prostitute. Just give an example. And that was something I think people could see, because when I say it, I want you to be able to picture it, because I believe that when we could get a perception of something, it helps us understand better. So we're going to get a little further into that. But the reason I believe that this story about David, even though it's about us, it's about us doing a self-evaluation of our own house. It's about us making sure that we're right, that we're in right standing, you know, making sure that we're not often, and we do. We're humans. Many of us do. Some of y'all might have perfected, not me, because I'm still looking at, you know, I might say, well, because your sin don't look like my sin, your sin is worse, you know. We do that, especially as Christians. And so I believe that God just wants, I think tonight God is rebuking us in love, because rebuke comes with love. Everything should be done out of love. That's the word of God. And I believe rebuking, you know, should come with a spirit of love. And when you love a person, when you love with the love of the Lord, you don't want to see people hurt. You don't want to see, you know, I could think about my own family, my children. I could think about family members that were going through certain things. And, you know, I would be irritated and angry at them, but the next person couldn't say nothing about them, because I would be ready to fight. Don't you dare say nothing about that person. But we love them, and we don't want to see them go through. We love them. We know they're out of order, but we love them, and we don't want to see them go through. So we, you know, sometimes they say we're enablers. You know, you're enabling. And it's not about us being enablers, but when you love somebody, when you have empathy, when you make, sometimes you even understand why they're where they're at. And when you understand why they're doing and what they're doing, doesn't make what they're doing right, but it gives you a little bit more empathy for them. Amen? So with the story of David, David had really did something horrible. You know, if you don't know the story, David had basically slept with his one of his soldiers' wife while the soldier was out at war. He slept with his wife. The wife got pregnant, and David brought the guy back from war and tried to get him drunk so he would go home and sleep with his wife, so that if he slept with his wife, they would not, the husband would never have to know that the child she was carrying was not his child. So because the man didn't want to go sleep with his wife, because he was loyal to David and he felt bad, why should I, you trying to get me to go home and chill and relax and stuff, but I got friends out there that's fighting, and I want to go out there and be with them on the front line. And so David figured he couldn't get him to sleep with his wife so that he would have him killed. So that's what this story is about. And then David just went on with life. You know, the man's dead. David takes the man's wife for his own wife. The woman's pregnant, getting ready to have a child, or had the child. And now the man of God got to come and rebuke him. The man of God got to come and call him on his stuff. And one of the things I've noticed in this day and time, you don't see a lot of that kind of rebuke coming on. You know, you don't see, you know, a lot of rebuke. You do see more judging. You do see more judging. And one of the things I understand, and in this day and age, I'm not saying that it's absolutely not there. I'm sure it is. But what I see in this day and age, that people don't know, because people got to be disciples. You know, Jesus, those 12 men stuck with Jesus. They were there with him. They were there with him day and night. They were learning. They set up under his covering. They were learning. They were being taught stuff about what was was not acceptable. We don't see a lot of that no more, because what we see is warehouses and people coming in. And see, it was an intimate relationship with those 12 disciples and Jesus. We don't see that because we got the mega churches and we got the multitude. And so if the church ain't structured right, we know that one pastor, it's impossible for one pastor to be become intimate with 4,000, 3,000 membership church. It's impossible. So if he hasn't thought this process through as he's building his church, if he hasn't thought the process through, you just won't have a whole lot of members. If there's no accountability, they come to church, they get the word, they get happy, and then they go home and continue their lives doing whatever it is that they want to do. There's no discipleship. So people are struggling. People are falling by the wayside. People are deep dead in sin, right? And we begin to justify. Well, you know, at least I'm not in a same sex marriage, or at least I'm not in adultery. You know, we always want to say justify, but the reality of it is that the church is hurting, and we haven't been discipled. We haven't been instructed. There's no accountability. There's no accountability. People are going to, especially at big churches, people are going to church on Sunday, and then they out, and that's it. And I know there is some self-accountability that we have to have, granted. But if you don't know better, you're not going to do better. If you don't know, if you just think that's the status quo because that's all you've seen, that's the way you see everything doing. You don't know how many people I've talked to. And it's all, well, you should not be so hard on yourself. I mean, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing that. Everybody's doing that. Surely God is going to give some leniency. And that's not how it works. God is not going to give some leniency, you know, because we're following the crowd. You know, sheep are the dumbest animals. And yet he refers to us as sheep, probably because of that, because sheep just follow. One sheep could be leading a herd of sheep and could walk off the cliff, and guess what? All the other sheep are going to walk off the cliff too. And that's kind of how the church is if you're looking, by the beginning. But if you're looking at it, it's just, we're just doing what we see. Oh, that looks normal. Oh, okay, we're going to go to church on Sunday because that's what everybody says we're going to do. Oh, we're going to do this because that's what everybody says we're going to do. And we get caught up in man's tradition and religious rituals that have absolutely no biblical facts. But we don't know. Why? We don't know because we're not getting sound doctrine. We're not being discipled, and we don't know. And let me say something in defense to the pastors that have churches. We're coming from a culture that don't want to be discipled. We're coming from a culture that don't want to be held accountable. Because guess what? You try to hold me accountable, I'm just gonna leave your church and go to the next church. There's no integrity. So people are struggling. People are stuck. People, and then heaven forbid if you're going through something, really, heaven forbid if you had to go to your brother or sister in Christ or leadership to ask for help, will you really get help? Or will you get ridiculed where everybody end up knowing what you're struggling with? Or would they be able to truly, out of love, be able to guide you and redirect you? Or do you got to go through a long speech of how sinful you are versus hearing how much God loves you? And he would leave the 99 for the one. You didn't put the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, in the Bible just because he thought it was a cute story. He put it in there to make a point. He put it in there that he loved, you know, he's married to the backslider. He you know, not that you're supposed to just keep, but he wants you back. Heaven forbid for him to lose you completely out here in this world. Amen. So if we just would take the example of Jesus for real and how he handled, you know, how he handled rebuke, you know. And let's just get into that a little bit, because we hear the word rebuke, and, you know, and oftentimes we hear things, and we just hear things, and we just don't know. We just saying things and not really truly understanding them. You know, we might think of rebuke as a bad thing, like, ooh, you know, rebuke is bad, but it is. Rebuke could be negative, you know. It's a expression of sharp disapproval or criticism. So when we hear criticism, we get angry. I get angry. Don't be criticizing me. And I feel like being critical could really be, it could be harmful. But rebuke is an expression of sharp disapproval or criticism, whereas judging means to separate, to pick out, select to. It's an implication that means to condemn, punish, avenge. It also carries the idea of having discernment, which I didn't really quite catch that, but it's, you know, it's judging. It comes with a consequence. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that the world truly even understands that, because everything that's said, the world want to say, don't judge me. You know, the word of God says, judge not. But it's a misconception. It really is. Because I don't think that everything that goes forth from people is judging. Some of it could be rebuke. But then how do we handle rebuke? The first way we handle rebuke is with love. We got to operate in the spirit of love to be able to go and rebuke somebody. What's the purpose? What is the purpose of rebuke? Why do we want to rebuke somebody? You know, what is it supposed to do? How is it supposed to help them? And it's supposed to help them because it's a reproof, it's correction, it's uplifting. And it's done out of love and empathy. It's saying, you're on the wrong path, brother. If you continue on this path, when you get a mile down, it's going to end and it's going to drop 90 feet. It's going to kill you. And because I love you, I don't want to see you go through down that path. I don't want to see you have to suffer the consequences of being off course. What can I do to support you? What can I do to help you? Because clearly you're making some bad decisions right now. It's a fact. Rebuke is a fact. But rebuke, again, should be a positive thing. Because God says he rebukes and chastises those whom he loves. When we be going through a lot of this stuff, and we always want to blame the devil. Ooh, the devil did this. Ooh, the devil. I rebuke you, devil. We rebuke the devil, when a lot of times it ain't even the devil. It's God rebuking us. It's God chastising us. Saying, hey, ooh, that stove is hot. I done told you 3 times already, don't touch that stove. And yet we want to keep touching the stove. Already knowing we're going to get burnt. Oh, Jesus. Already knowing we're going to get burnt, but we want to keep doing it. We want to keep eating certain foods. We want to keep drinking certain drinks. We want to keep doing what we want to do. Why? Because the body does, the flesh want to do what the flesh want to do with no regard to your, with no regard to your salvation, with no regard to your soul. It doesn't care nothing about that. The flesh don't know nothing but the things of the flesh. And it's like a newborn baby. A newborn baby just cries to get what it wants. And once it get what it won't say thank you. It can't say thank you. It can't show appreciation. It just give me what I want. It's 3 o'clock. I don't care that it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Get up and give me what I want. I don't care that you've been up all night. Get up and give me what I want. That's what the flesh does to us. Get up. David wouldn't have dared got himself in that situation if he wasn't fulfilling the lust of his flesh. But the flesh wanted what he wanted. He seen that cute thing on top of the rooftop, and he seen it, and he had to have it. Now, taking his lust of the flesh along with his authority of being the king, and you put those two things together, you got an egotistic maniac. Because now, not only is he lusty from his flesh of this thing, he got the authority and the power to make it happen. You see where I'm going with this? You see why people ending up in jail as serial killers and serial rapists and pedophiles and all this other kind of crazy stuff? Because they could not master the flesh. And the sad thing about it is that many of these people that's not mastering the flesh are believers. We're believers. And the whole Bible, from the first covenant to the second covenant, the whole Bible is showing men and women of God that are struggling, that were struggling with this thing called the flesh. Do it make it right? No. And the worst thing, I believe, if you don't get anything else on tonight, what you have to get is this one thing. Do not let the enemy trick you into thinking what God already knows, the flesh is powerful, what God already knows, or Jesus came for our sins. Jesus came for our sins, and he knows that we're going to be human. He knows that I'm going to sleep around. He knows that I'm going to do this. He knows that I'm going to do that. Don't let the enemy trick you into believing that, because Jesus is trying to get us to understand as believers, according to his word, that he did not come to get rid of the law. He came to fulfill the law. So in other words, the law is the law. And yes, there is grace. But what he wants us to understand as his children is that when we come into a relationship with him, when we build an intimate relationship with him, the closer we draw to him, the less we want of other stuff. And he's trying to get us to understand that the only time that we really get caught up with all this, getting caught up with the other stuff, is when we're not as close to him as we should be. Because if you think about it, when you first gave your life to Christ and you was a sold out, on fire believer. Think about that. For some of us, it may have been 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and for some of us, it was just last week. But when you think about that time, you didn't want nothing else. Remember that? All you wanted to do, all you could think about was Jesus, and you was on fire, and all you wanted to do is get out and get, woo! I know a man that can say, and all you want to do is tell people about Jesus. Every time a church opened this door, guess what? You was there. Because all you wanted to do was learn more about Jesus. You wanted to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You were going because you knew the anointing. You felt the anointing, and that's all you wanted. You wanted Jesus. You didn't want to hear 50 Cent and Puff Daddy and beyond. You didn't want to hear none of that kind of stuff. Because why? Your heart was pure. You were seeking after the Father. And as time goes on and we continue and life happens, then it becomes fine. I might go to church today. I might not. And don't get me wrong, because church ain't going to save you. But it's something about coming together and fellowshipping with like-minded believers. There's something about not forsaking the assembly. It's important. Because if you think about it, when Jesus was sent out, he always sent them out by two. He never sent them out alone. We're stronger as a team than we are as an individual. And so when you have a body of believers that you're affiliated with, that you assemble with, then you're building a fortress around you. And so when you're going through life issues and life has a tendency to come and knock you down, then you got a group of people that you could go to that can love you back to life, that could, you know, I don't want to say, because when you think about, you know, animals, you know, they lick each other's wounds, lick them back to life, you know, and so you got a group of believers that's gonna enforce the shield of God. They're gonna cover you in prayer. They're gonna encourage you. They're gonna inspire you. When the enemy is trying to attack you and let you know good. When the enemy is trying to attack you and say, you know what, you might as well pull the trigger. You don't need to be here no more. When the enemy is trying to tell you, oh, God, I don't want you. You know, he's trying to condemn. And when he's trying to do that, you can have a group of people that could tell you, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. You know, they're encouraging you. They're encouraging you. They're praying for you. And that's what you need. You need like-minded believers, people who are sold out. People who are sold out for Christ. Because the road is not always easy. This walk is not an easy walk. I don't care what nobody tells you. This walk is not easy. It's not, you ain't going to always feel like praising God. You're not going to always feel like praying. You're not going to always feel like getting up and going to church. You're not going to always feel like, you're just not going to always feel like it. And that's okay. But make sure that when you don't always feel like it, you got somebody that's standing in the gap for you. Somebody that's saying, you know what, I'm going to lift up Coach D right now. I'm going to lift up such and such. I'm going to lift up brother such and such. You know, because we need it. Heck, we've seen with Moses, they had to hold Moses' hands up. Remember? He got the weak. They had to hold up his hands. Well, you need some people around you that's going to hold your hands up when you feel like you don't want to go no more, when you don't feel like you don't want to, that you don't want to live this life no more. You need people that's going to hold your hands up. You don't need people that's going to judge you. You don't need Job's friend or Job's wife. You need some people that's going to speak the word of God over you. You need some people that's going to, that's going to rebuke the spirit of depression off of you. That's going to rebuke the spirit of isolation off of you. That's going to rebuke the spirit of whatever you're going through, suicide, whatever it is. You need people around you that's going to rebuke it. Because why? Because they love you. And we know, according to 2 Peter, that love covers a multitude of sin. It was love that got you and I to where we are now. It was love that sent us a Savior. It was love that redeemed us. Redemption is something that was once in place, taken out of place, and put back in place. It was the love of Elohim that he decided, guess what? I'm gonna have to put on me some clothes and come down there. Because I love these people, and I don't desire any of them to perish. And even though he was walking among them, they still didn't know who he was. And I often hear some people say, man, if I was back in those days with Jesus, you would have did the same thing everybody else did. He would have just been somebody. And we could see stuff. You know, I would have been able to see the miracle. You see the signs, wonders, and miracles now. We see them all the time in our own lives, in the lives of others. And that's what Nathan, that's what Nathan told David. Don't miss the story. That's what Nathan said. After God said, you this man, basically, and you rebuked, you know, you're this man, then he went on to tell him, I gave you everything. I gave you good health. I gave you sound mind. I gave you a roof over your head, clothes on your back. You get to choose what you want to eat. You get to get up and get in the shower. You get to go out and walk out to your garage or your front door, your driveway or your sidewalk or your carport, and you get to put a key in an ignition and start it up. And if you're lucky, you get to go to a job that's going to provide you with a source of income. God has given us all these things. Now, my things may not be like your things, but you got some things like I got some things. And if we start just appreciating the things that God has given us, if we start, then we won't have to be walking with somebody else, God. We won't have to be coveting our neighbor's nothing. And we might step and say, well, that ain't my thing. You know what? God started showing me. You know what, Coach D? You got a whole lot of things that you just ain't paying attention to. If you look at the Ten Commandments, yeah, you might not murder nobody, but there's some things you got that you need to pay attention to. You need to go in and go do an inventory of what's in your closet. And you need to identify the things that's in your closet, and you need to start getting rid of them, because holding on to them is no good for you. Holding on to them is going to be toxic for you. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to prosper you. So why are we looking at everybody else's stuff and what everybody else is doing? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I mean, I don't understand it. I just don't understand how they could sin the same way you sin. They sin the same way you sin. And when we start looking at ourselves again, we start looking at ourselves from the inside out, and we see the stuff, and we begin to sort through that stuff. And if you feel like you got some stuff that's too heavy for you to pick up and get rid of, then that's when you go to your Father. You say, Father God, I need your help. I'm dealing with X, Y, Z, or I'm doing this, this, and this. I need your help. I need your guidance. Father God, I need deliverance. And he may lead some people into your life, or he may lead you to some people that he knows that he set aside for a time such as this. That's not going to judge you. That's not going to, but they're going to be able to love on you, and they're going to be able to speak the word to you, and you'll be able to get the healing that you need. Oftentimes, we don't get the healing that we need because we went to the wrong place to get healed. You don't go to, if you're trying to get healed, you don't go to McDonald's. If you're trying to be healed, what you going to do? You're going to go to a hospital. If you're trying to see, are you going to go to a gynecologist? No, you're going to go to an ophthalmologist. If you can't chew because you ain't got no teeth, you're not going to go to a pediatrician. You're going to go to a dentist. Some of us are just not going to the, we need certain things, and we're not going to the right places to get what we need. You know what I'm saying? I mean, by George, if I need groceries in my house, why am I going to Jiffy Lube? We got to know what we need. First of all, identify your need. And then once you identify your need, then identify where you can get that need met. Every church ain't for everybody. And some people are sitting in church for 10, 20, and 30 years, and guess what? They're not growing because they've outgrown that ministry. Nothing wrong with the ministry, maybe. Nothing wrong with the church. Nothing wrong with the man of God man and woman of God of the church. But maybe your season there is up. You know, maybe that church is serving smoothies, and you need somewhere that's serving steak. And I don't know where we got into this thing about, I'm being careful, y'all. If I step on your toes, just know I love you, and just say, "Ouch, hallelujah." But I'm not sure where we got this thing where we have to be married to a church for 30, 50 years. No, that's the church God got you planted in, and that's where you have so big. I know people that's in churches, and things that I can say this because I'm not calling the people, but I know people that's been in church for 30 years with under the leadership. Yeah. So if you're no longer growing, did God tell you to remain? Or who told you to leave? This is a conversation between you and God. Who told you? We stay in places we ain't supposed to be. Are we leaving places we shouldn't have never left? And now we hurting, and we out here struggling, and we all caught up in sin. Our mind ain't right. We not disciplined. We doing whatever we want to do when we get ready to do it. But good news on tonight. You have a God that loves you. And he had a plan for your salvation. And that plan was Jesus. And he said all we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. He told us also that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So we have the ability to repent. We have the ability to turn away from that thing. And God will forgive us and receive us back. And some of us, we may have been stuck. Some of us could be going through some stuff. We know. You know when you're off balance. You know when things, you know, when things just not right. We all know that. We know ourselves, and we know when we're out of order. But thank God we have the ability to get back in order. We have the ability to get back in order. We have the ability to get back in right standing with our Abba Father. Because why? He loves us. And he loves us so much that he chastens us and he rebukes us because it's for our growth. It's not to judge us. It's not to condemn us. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn it. So it's none of that. It's because he loves us and he wants the best for us. And we need to display that same love among our brothers and sisters. We need to love them and want the best for them. So our words should be the words I attend an ambassador call the first Saturday of every month, Christian Business Ministry. And they start off the call with a word from the Word. A word from the Word. So if you raise your hand and get selected, this ain't your word. It ain't what you think. It ain't what you think you know. It is a word from the Word. Because nothing will minister to somebody. Nothing will heal somebody. Nothing will deliver somebody like the Word. And when we know that God watches over his word to perform it, that it shall not return unto him void, but that it shall accomplish everything that he sets it out to do, then we know we need a word from the Word. And that's good and bad. See, we always want to just think about the good things that God's word speak about, you know, the blessings. But guess what? God said he's not going to be mocked. So he watches over all his words, not just some of it, but all of it. Look for David. And this is not out of fear. This is now you need to say, mm-hmm. I hear somebody now, people say, well, that's the Old Testament. I don't work with the Old Testament. It ain't the Old Testament. It's the first covenant. And then we got a second covenant. And the first covenant is still relevant. And if you don't think so, just remember, he's coming back to judge. And the same God that you've seen smote, that's the word they use, S-M-O-T-E. The same God that you've seen smote, that smote in the first covenant, is going to be the same God that you see smoting in the second covenant when he comes back. Because he's coming back to judge. He's given us every opportunity. Every opportunity to put the blood on our pulse. We're the temple. Each one of us is a temple. And he's given us every opportunity to put the blood over our doorposts. Be in covenant. Father, we just thank you for the word tonight. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that your word is your word. And if you don't need Coach D, and you don't need Bishop this, and Apostle that, and Prophet, you, that your word is your word. And I just thank you for your word, Father. I thank you that your word is productive, that it's life. And Father God, that it goes out and do what you send it to do. So, Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you, Father God, for the ability to repent and turn away from our wicked ways, Father. Father God, we know that there's consequences to sin, as we sing with David. Though David was a man after your own heart, and David had favor with you, Father. Father God, some of David's actions left lingering consequences. So, Father God, we just want to be in right standing. Father, as our brother David said, create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us. Father, don't take your presence from us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to take a minute. I haven't done this in a while, 2024. Many of you are, like I said, I was away for the last month of 2023. I'm going to give you an opportunity if you have something that you want to share, if this message ministered to you in a certain way. Please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. We would love to hear it. I love to hear it because I know that when I submit myself unto God and I'm hearing from God, I need the confirmation of God's people, you know, so that I know it's just not Coach D, but it's the Spirit of God speaking. And I do have have a caller, area code 909. Last 4, 9870. You are live on Processing the Pain.
This was so good, sis. I just want to let you know this is Deion Jones from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, hello, Deion Jones from Atlanta. Well, from Los Angeles, California. By way.
No, baby. I'm in Atlanta.
Yes.
This was
Amen.
So good.
Well,
you. This was good, girl. This was good.
Well, thank you so
this
much,
good.
My sister. I love you.
I love you too, baby.
Thank you for tuning in.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Amen. Amen. Do we have anyone else that have any comments? Maybe you have rebuke about what was said tonight. Maybe some things you didn't agree with. Maybe there were some things that you have questions about, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that you'll walk away with the message that I believe God gave for us. It's just, you know, we just need to be conscientious. You know, we need to be, you know, aware of our own things. You know, the word of God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it doesn't mean you don't help your brothers and sisters. It just means clean up your own mess. Make sure your house is in order. Because when you realize how much grace you really need, when you realize how jacked up you really are, you know what I'm saying? Then your empathy and your love for others is expanded. And God is really, I'm hearing from him, the same grace that I've extended to you, I'm expecting you to extend to others. And that's what my practice for 2024 is. I want to extend the same grace. Even when somebody's driving crazy on the road, I want to extend the same grace. Even when somebody look at me crazy, I want to extend the same grace. Even when somebody talk to me crazy, I want to extend the same grace. you know, whatever the situation, I want to be able to extend the same grace that God extended to me. Amen. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And I look forward to seeing you guys on next Thursday. Have a good night.
I surrender.